The hope of Christmas. We'll start out talking about a little bit about what Advent is. Advent signals the coming of Christmas, but even more so, Advent signals the coming of Christ. The season of Advent is, in some ways, the church's way of reminding itself that Jesus is coming. Advent is a time of preparation. Traditionally, the first Sunday of Advent has been a time to acknowledge that the earth is not as it should be. Creation is broken. There's darkness, there's suffering, and there's sin. As we transition through the four Sundays of Advent, we acknowledge and name God's promises. We claim those promises as we prepare for the light of Christ to enter once again into our world. Through the birth of Christ that we celebrate Christmas, and then ultimately and finally and decisively in the coming of Christ again. This morning's call to worship read, God's Spirit has led us here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is hope, there is peace, there is joy, and there is love. Today is the first Sunday of our Advent series. This week's lesson is on hope. I'm sure there's many out there that hope that it's going to snow. Many are hoping that it doesn't snow. There are a few that are hoping that this message is short, really short. Unfortunately, these are all examples of what hope is not. It doesn't really matter. We'll get through it whether it snows or it doesn't snow. And you really have no choice on how long this message is. Real hope, Christian hope, true hope, was born when Jesus entered the world. Hope for the forgiveness of sins. Hope for a bright future. Hope for God's presence and the power in daily living. Hope that enables us to forget the past and set our sights on stuff that doesn't disappoint. A hope because of Jesus, not a wish or a want. The absence of hope can lead to despair. Paul's response, taken to heart by Augustine and offered to us as an inspiration, is to put on Christ, to clothe ourselves in the attributes of the Prince of Peace. Elizabeth Spence wrote on a blog, hope is not something that you can teach or that you can see or you can smell. Rather, it is felt deep in your soul. Its absence is life-draining. Its presence is life-giving. You say that I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, you say that I'm yours. And I believe and I believe. What you say of me, oh, I believe. Taking all that I have now and I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory. A beautiful song by Lauren Daigle, performed masterfully by our choir and our worship team. Thank you again. Believe me, I choose not to get into a theological dissertation on this song, most notably because I don't have a clue where to begin to try to do that. But as I read those lyrics, they're beautiful lyrics, but I feel something is missing, and that is hope. You have every failure, God. As I listened to it and I read the lyrics, I just feel a deep lack of Jesus in the can't feel, am weak, and falling short. Hope in Jesus. But then maybe that is just what that song is all about. Jenny Chambalry wrote on the same blog, for me, hope is all about my faith in Jesus. Even in the midst of difficulties, I know that I have hope in Him, as He is bigger than anything we go through, and will be at my side as I go through the valleys. Likewise, He will also be with me on the mountaintops. For me, hope is all about my faith in Jesus. On November 21st, 1943, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a letter to his fiancée while he was imprisoned by Hitler during World War II. In the letter, he talked about a spiritual lesson that he was learning from his life as a prisoner. He wrote, a prison cell in which one waits, hopes, and does various unessential things, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside is not a bad picture of Advent. The door of freedom has to be opened on the outside is not a bad picture of Advent. The theme of hope is a welcome one when we are faced with some of the things that life can throw at us. When we are filled with fear, we need to hope that God's presence, power, and promises. When we are faced with pain or illnesses, we need that hope of God as aware of what is going on in our lives. When a bad or difficult situation goes on for a long time, we need that hope of knowing that God is able to overcome the evil that has besieged us. When it seems that the world is lost and has become hostile to God and everything that is good, when we need the hope of knowing that God is still in control and is the ultimate victor. Now, Isaiah was a prophet who worked in Jerusalem about 700 years before Christ's birth. In Isaiah's day, the Assyrians had overrun most of Israel and Judah, and had even laid siege to the great city of Jerusalem. As Isaiah watched the destruction, he opened his mouth in an anguished prayer. "Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you come down long ago, you did some awesome deeds beyond the highest expectations. And oh, how the mountains quaked." Isaiah 64. Isaiah wanted to know why God seemed so distant from his chosen people. Why didn't God hurry down and rescue them? Isaiah knew that God was no wimp. He could smash enemies as easily as we could smash a clay jar. So Isaiah wanted the Lord to tear open the heavens and make a grand entrance. Isaiah wanted to see God's power in action as the Israelites of old had seen it when God made Mount Sinai tremble. Do you want God to hurry down here to come down and deal with the world and deal with everything that is wrong with it? No, because the fact is, I'm what's wrong with the world. You're what's wrong with the world. To drive this point home, Isaiah said that our sins shrivel up like a dead leaf. And what happens to a dead leaf? It gets thrown in a compost pile, or it gets thrown in with the fire and it gets all burnt up. Take your pick, because the Bible says that we deserve both for our sins. Now, Isaiah had begun his prayer by asking God to hurry and tear open the heavens and make his presence known. But then the prophet halted when he realized that he had just asked God to do, to judge sinners, of whom Isaiah was one. And so Isaiah added to this important request with his prayer, help. God answered both of Isaiah's requests, though it would take 700 years. Around 26 AD, somewhere around the Jordan River, the heavens were torn open, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. God the Father's voice also boomed, declaring Jesus to be the beloved Son. Jesus' baptism marked him as a savior of sin, the help that God had promised to send. We have hope. We have hope because here are three areas from which our hope springs, which I would like to share with you this morning. The first is we have hope because of who we are. Who are we? We are the people of God. He has created us with His own hands. He has redeemed us with His own blood of His Son. He has raised Christ from the grave and promised that we will follow in a like manner. He is preparing a place in His kingdom where the children of God, we are the redeemed. We are the heirs of the coming kingdom. This is our origin, our present reality, and our inheritance. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." If you confessed your sins and you come to God for His healing and forgiveness, stop thinking of yourself as a miserable sinner and claim your inheritance. This is who you are, no matter how the world may see you now. To build your life around your strength and your abilities is an illusion. You need something that is lasting. And that something is who you are in Christ. The Bible says that Christ in you, which is the hope of glory, in 1 Colossians. The second point is, we have hope because of whose we are. The only way that we can have hope in who we are is because of whose we are. God is the ground of our being and existence. He is the ground of our hope. He is the Father and we are the children. He has ransomed, restored, and raised us. It is all about Him. We have confidence because of our confidence in Him. We have hope because we know that God knows what's going on in our lives. We have courage to face the future because He is in control of all existence. And He will overcome all the problems of evil has brought into our lives. God will overcome this and make us victorious in the process. And the third point, we have hope because of where we are. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are living in His kingdom. That is where you are. You do not have to wait until Jesus comes again. He has already come. The kingdom of God is here. It is within us and it is around us. Aren't we walking and talking with God every day? We live in the awareness of His presence and the expectation of His working in our lives. We are not just sitting around waiting for heaven. Heaven has already begun for believers. We are already getting a taste of what it will be like. God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our brother, and our sins are forgiven. His resurrection is the promise of eternal life for us. God has shared His joy with us and placed His peace within us. Because we are living in the kingdom, we live in hope. It is because of where we are that we know where we are going. In one of his letters to the apostles, apostle letters, Paul wrote, "If only for this life we have hope, then we are to be pitied more than all men. And if our hope was only for this world and only bound to this world, then he would be right." But Paul reminds us that the hope to which we come is a living hope. This is what he says, "Praise be to God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, His great mercy. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, and into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through the faith is shielded by God's power till the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." 1 Peter. The hope we have endures the present time and even beyond the confines of the world. For it is a living hope that brings us into inheritance God has for us, one that will never perish, spoil, or fade. The proof is, the seal of the deal is that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave and ascended into heaven. He who died for us, who paid the penalties for our sin in His flesh, was also raised to new life by the hands of God as proof that His sacrifice was both sufficient and satisfactory in God's eyes. Justice has been served. The horror of the curse removed. The victory won. He is the first fruits of the resurrection of righteousness. But He will not be the last, for we who by the grace will be saved will be raised to new life as well. This too is our hope. The world tells us where there's life, there's hope, but the world's got it backwards. It's truer to say that where there's hope, there's life. In His time, Jesus said, "I am the hope of which the prophet spoke." And the Apostle Paul tells us that the same Jesus is the hope that is yet to come, for He will return on clouds of glory and power in accordance to His word. We live in hope because, like Lauren Daigle writes in her song, we know that we can bring all our hang-ups, all our mistakes, all our brokenness, and all our sins to the feet of Jesus, our Lord. We can bring the Lord all our burdens and all those things that weigh us down and cause us to have doubts, to be apathetic, and to be lukewarm. We can bring everything to the Lord because we know He loves us, forgives us, cleanses us, renews us. We believe. As we close in our sharing in communion, let us come to the table as people of hope. Let us come as people who know who we are, whose we are, and where we are going. Let us come as people praying for God to intervene in our lives, our church, and in the world. Let us come as people who will intercede for our world, who will confess their sins, their brokenness, and ask the Lord to bring about a mighty revival. Let us come and place ourselves in the hands to be His clay. Let us come as believers in the hope of Christmas, allowing the Lord to move us, to push us, to pull us, to do whatever is necessary to be His vessels in which He can pour out His Spirit upon the world. Amen.